Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I have another guest today. I am very, very privileged to have this gentleman on with me. You know, it isn't every day that you run into somebody that you meet who has a very, 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 and when I say very, I mean very good career going for them. I mean, working in corporate management, being selected at a very early age to be the youngest manager in that organization's history, and then moving up to become a district manager, also again, the youngest person to ever hold that position. And to be honest with you, these positions were held while this gentleman was still in his 20s. So, you know, what this says to me is this gentleman was a fast tracker. This guy was plugged into the corporate structure, and he was going to do great things along the way. And along that way, he managed to get himself up into the higher echelon of this organization's hierarchy. And he spent about 17 years working in corporate America. But something changed. Something changed along the way, and he decided it was time for a change. So what we're going to do today is we're going to get into Marty's story, because Marty has a very, very compelling story. And I'll tell you what, you're going to learn a lot of things from Marty about how he transitioned to becoming a real estate investor, and what he did along the way, the good, the bad, and sometimes the ugly, and how he found himself kind of changing directions in his real estate investing career to ultimately becoming a very successful real estate investor. So with no further ado, I'm just going to bring Marty on, and I want to get right into his story. Marty, are you there?
I am here. Good to talk to you, Al.
Man, it is so good to have you on the show. So tell me, what is it like to be a guy who's in his 20s, who is fast-tracking in corporate America, who's moving up that corporate ladder? What exactly did that feel like?
You know, it kind of felt like I was doing what was expected. You know, you get out of college, you land a good job, you work hard, and you move up the corporate ladder. So I was following what society tells you to do, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm no different. I got the same briefing. I think I'm a few years older than you, but I got the same briefing you did. Go to school, get good grades, get into a good college, get good grades so that you can get into a line of employment that would give you good pay, good benefits, and hopefully a great retirement plan. So what happened along the way?
I worked a lot. So when it was retail, it was, you know, 60 to 70 hours a week consistently. I always tell people it's like running a marathon every day at a sprinter's pace. But to move up, I also had to move around. So in my first 12 years of my 17-year career, I relocated 8 times. So if you count the relocations, the hours, I mean, I paid my dues, but, you know, that's what I knew. And obviously it was successful, great learning experience. I gained a lot from it and, you know, made some decent money. But make no mistake, I mean, I worked for the corporate store, if you will.
Yeah, it almost sounds like you were in the military like I was. I mean, I literally moved every 2 to 3 years. I didn't realize people moved that frequently in corporate America.
Yeah, it might be more of a retail thing, but the saying was, if you want to move up, you've got to. I mean, it served myself and others well. It's just you do sacrifice a lot at the same time.
So what areas of your life did you find yourself sacrificing on behalf of that job?
You know, I'd say the hardest part was just making new friends in a new area and a new town. So a lot of those moves were between states. And as a single guy, I didn't have a family unit going with me. So a lot of it was just learning a new area, learning a new team, but also making new friends. So, and because I'd be new somewhere and all I knew was my job, I would end up working more hours, which again led well for the career, but not as good as far as like getting married and having kids and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I totally get that. So along the way, you decided you would get involved with real estate investing. How did you penetrate that particular endeavor?
You know, I think everybody gets into it differently. I always like to say I got into it accidentally. So when I moved to Dallas, I bought a home that was too big for me, too far out, and I didn't know it at the time. I just fell in love with the home. And then after being in DFW for about a year and a half, I realized I need to be strategically somewhere closer between my territory and my office at the time. So I bought a new house before I sold the other house. I did not buy in a contingency. And it was around 2008. The market really wasn't that good. I couldn't sell my other home. So I ended up renting it out. So by default, I became a landlord investor, if you will. And that's kind of how my peers saw me. And I was like, well, no, I didn't have a plan on investing. I just, you know, needed to rent it out because I couldn't sell it. After a couple of years, I'm like, hey, this is kind of nice. I have someone else paying down my mortgage and it's, you know, it's tax write-off. And I kind of got there by accident and realized it was really a good deal.
So did you get the bug at that point? I mean, did you all of a sudden start feeling like, hey, you know what, this is viable. I could actually do something beneficial with this.
Yeah, you know, I'd say three things. That would be one. The second thing is I had a boss that was looking into buying fourplexes. So I'd go into my status to talk work, and we ended up talking about investing. And to me, he was talking a foreign language, but it sounded horribly interesting. And so that kind of got me going. Another friend had read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which I'm like, okay, this sounds good. So I read that, and my eyes opened up. So actually, when I ended up leaving Target, that was the company I worked for, cashed in some stock options, and then I decided, you know what, rather than going back into the market where a lot of people lost a lot of money 2007-2008 with the crash, I'm like, I don't want to take this.
Hold that thought, Marty. We're going to break, and when we come back, we're going to find out what happened right after this.
Del Wamsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300-some a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
And I'll tell you what, that's exactly what Marty has done. Marty has fine-tuned his real estate investing plan. And I'll tell you what, he has done some incredible things along the way. But before he got started in doing things the Lifestyles way, he kind of veered out on his own, as many people do. I mean, I'm no different. I veered out into real estate on my own, following somebody else's map that got me in, well, to be honest with you, a lot of hot water. But Marty was working for a very, very large retail firm called Target, and he was in upper management, and he was kind of hanging out with his boss, and they found that they had a similar interest, which was real estate. And, you know, his boss was looking at maybe buying some fourplexes, and then another colleague of Marty's had read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which, by the way, is a very good book written by Robert Kiyosaki, and he read that too, and it really kind of opened his eyes. And we were really getting into the meat of that story when we went to break. So, Marty, let me turn the microphone over to you and let you pick up that story.
All right. Thanks, Al. So, yeah, so when I was looking to leave Target after turning 40 and spending all those time, a lot of time and energy, I never had time for myself. I decided, you know what, it's time for a new career and take some time off, frankly. So when I left, I cashed in some stock options, and I decided rather than put the money into the market, which obviously tanked for a little bit in 2007, 2008, and I wanted to try real estate investing a little bit more full-time. So I bought a duplex, and I did it incorrectly in a sense of I paid cash for it as opposed to leveraging, putting less into it, leveraging what I had. And another thing I did wrong is I signed a five-year lease, which is something we don't recommend at Lifestyles Unlimited. But it got me into the real estate game. And after doing that, I bought a couple more, and, you know, pretty soon my funds are running short. Then I ran into a guy, I overheard John Horn. He works for Lifestyles Unlimited. I overheard him in the church lobby talking about buying a home, and I asked him, hey, are you buying a home? What's the deal? And he told me all about Lifestyles. He told me about how to buy homes more efficiently, blah, blah, blah. And all I wanted to do was to learn how to buy more homes. That was my whole MO. Talking to him for like half hour, he told me about how to leverage better and how to get into multifamily, and it sounded wonderful. So that's when I joined Lifestyles, and actually I learned a couple things. I learned some things I was doing right, and I learned a lot of things I was doing wrong. So the very first weekend that I went to Lifestyles, joined in, decided I'm going to become a multifamily investor, but I did buy a couple homes through Lifestyles, following their model, had a way better ROI, and then I got into the multifamily game, which is something I could never thought I'd do. And again, I was a passive investor, so it didn't take as much work. But that's how I really learned to be like a true real estate investor.
You know, you said a couple of things that I want to double back on because I think there are folks that are listening that may be in the position where they've made similar mistakes that you have. So what I'd like to do is help them out by addressing those mistakes. And, you know, we can use a lessons learned concept and help them understand why. Well, first of all, why paying all cash for a property is a really bad idea.
Because you're not getting the same return on your money. So let's say you buy a home for $200,000 and you make $20,000 a year and net. That's okay. But what if you put $40,000 and you're getting $10,000 a year? Then you take the other $160,000 and you can put that down on, you know, four other homes. Again, without knowing who Dave Ramsey was, I kind of followed his playbook. I was scared. I was, I don't want to have a mortgage. I don't want to go into debt. So I had David Ramsey on one shoulder, then I had Robert Kiyosaki on the other shoulder saying, oh no, have good debt, but what Lifestyles taught me, and not to sound like an infomercial or anything, but they really taught me how to be more efficient with my money. And honestly, not just with single family, because that's fun. And my MO at that point in life was just looking for some cash flow. But now that I understand multifamily and how you can, double your equity, I mean, that just opened up a whole new game that I wasn't even aware of.
Now, you mentioned you had also signed a five-year lease. Who asks for a five-year lease?
I actually have five of my rental properties I lease out to Christian charities that are transitional living homes for people coming out of prison. Now, on face value, a lot of people might think that's scary, it's risky, but it's actually just the opposite. The vision of these organizations were to have nice transitional homes in areas that were less conducive of them getting around the bad element, ending up back in prison. So the organizations signed the lease, and I actually now sit on the board. One is called the Freeman House. The other one is called ForgivenFelons.org. Great organizations that does well for the community, does well for the people living in them, and it gives me some cash flow. But the long-term lease locked me into a set rate. So while I was charging, I think at the time, $900 a side, the market almost doubled. My taxes tripled in the decade I've owned them. So being locked in a long-term lease at first gave me a sense of security. At the end, made me realize I was locked into something, and that's not the way to go. The most I'll do is a two-year just because I know the organizations. But for my other homes, I go one-year leases so I can have more flexibility and adjust to the market.
But that's actually pretty cool because you patterned your investing strategy around something you're passionate about supporting.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. And really, we should be, the lifestyles model is, you know, you hold a home for 2 or 3 years. And I do that with about half my homes, but these properties I'm keeping. Again, it does good for the community. It does good for the people in them. And who doesn't like, you know, good, solid cash flow?
Yeah, cash flow is king. I mean, it's the number one reason why people ought to invest in real estate is to get that cash flow coming in. And of course, as you and I have found out, once you get enough passive income coming in that it meets or exceeds all of your living expenses, you've effectively retired yourself. Would you agree?
Totally agree. And even though I'm holding on to these homes, I'm doing something I just learned about this past year, which is a cash out refi. So I'm going to hold the home, but I'm going to take some cash out of that and get back more into the multifamily game.
Very cool. So I'll tell you what, we've got about a minute left before we go to the break. And what I don't want to do is set you up with one of those, you know, long questions that takes 2 minutes to answer when we only have a little bit of time left. But talk to me a little bit about how your strategy transitioned into these single family houses and, you know, 1 year rentals.
That was just going to Lifestyles Unlimited and honestly, the School of Hard Knocks. So when I started paying more taxes and my income was the same and I couldn't adjust, I realized I'd done something wrong. So learning that from Lifestyles and the School of Hard Knocks helped me change.
Okay, well, that makes total sense to me. I'll tell you what, we come back from the break. What I'd like to do is I'd like to kind of get into some of your strategies that changed and what the path looks like for you going forward. We'll be back right after this.
Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. So, you know, during the break, Marty says, hey, man, can I send you an email? And I said, yeah, sure. I'm sitting in front of a computer. No problem. So what does he do? He sends me his strategic plan all laid out. I mean, all color coded, all organized. And he knows exactly what he's going to do with certain properties. He knows exactly what he's planning on doing with future investments. And I'll tell you what, that's exactly what Lifestyles Unlimited members do. I mean, whether you know how to do this yourself or not, there is definitely somebody in the community that can help you put your plan together. And I'll tell you what, Marty, this is a very impressive plan. So tell me a little bit about your strategy and, you know, talk about where you're at now and then where that strategy is intended to take you maybe for the next 2 years.
Okay, well, let me back up and kind of give how I got restarted with this. During COVID, I own a sports bar. We talked about that offline. It's a sand volleyball bar and grill. And during COVID, that got shut down. But as I'm looking at the sports bar versus the real estate was still doing strong. And in my mind, I've just been a dabbler in real estate, not necessarily an expert. And as a dabbler, I've done very well. So with the bar shut down, I'm like, you know what? I think it's time to make some moves. So I sold one home and did for the first time a 1031 tax exchange, if you will, a tax shelter exchange, and bought three other homes. So I bought three homes from that one, sold that one. I refinanced two others and bought two others from that refinance. So I've had a very, very busy year, and now I'm in a position where I can play chess or Monopoly, if you will. So now I've got a pretty good portfolio. And I had those yellow sticky notes of all my different thoughts. I put pen to paper and created a spreadsheet. So next year, I know I'm going to hold on to five homes and do nothing but collect cash flow. That's kind of my base. I've got two homes that I'm going to refinance. I'm going to take you know, a couple hundred grand out from them and use that to invest into multifamilies. And I've got three homes I'm going to sell. And these are ones that I've either held too long or, you know, the cash flow wasn't as good. I'm just picking the ones that I don't want, because I want to have a more balanced portfolio. So if you're asking for my strategy is I want to reshuffle from having all single family, get back into the multifamily game so I have a good balance between the two. Then 2022, I'll probably be going down the route of IRO, independent real estate owner, or being a lead. So that's kind of my how I got there and my strategy for next year and even 2022 in a nutshell.
So did Lifestyles Unlimited help you step away from being the dabbler and more becoming more focused on becoming a legitimate real estate investor?
You know, they did, but honestly, it wasn't even head knowledge. It was just believing that it could be done. And I actually, you know, work with Lifestyles now, and I talk to so many members. And inevitably, if I'm talking to someone, I'm like, so how many deals are you in? I hear their stories, and it made me believe more and more. And I was in two multifamily deals, two or three years ago, and they both did really well. And it's almost like I didn't believe it while it was happening, but I think I've got enough proof where if I don't do it, I'm really dumb. Because you'd be an idiot not to see these kind of returns and jump in if you've got the power or the resources to do it. So, yeah, one part head knowledge, one part just believing it can happen because it's happened to you before and you've seen others do it.
Yeah, I'm just kind of taken back because I'm looking at your spreadsheet you sent me, and you know, you've organized everything very effectively, very efficiently, and you know, it's a great vehicle for understanding where you're currently at and where you plan to go. And you know, I mean, to be honest with you, we as Lifestyles Unlimited members, this is the kind of stuff we have a tendency to talk about, do we not?
Yeah, and it's funny because I'm not used to talking financials with people, with strangers, whatever, but now I can't shut up. I have to be careful because some people aren't comfortable talking numbers and strategies, but once you see it happening, you almost become like a preacher where it's like, you guys, you have to check this out. It's real. It works. So, you know, that's why I sent you this this plan. You know, it works, and it's fun being at a point as you grow your real estate investment to play strategy, to play chess master, to try and figure out, okay, what do I want to do this year to maximize my returns or whatever your goal is.
So you've made some mistakes along the way. We addressed those earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. What are you doing to make sure that you don't repeat those mistakes or make mistakes with your future investments?
You know, I look at it differently. So in the past, I would feel better when I had a large amount into a home and I was getting a steady cash flow. That was my MO. So then, according to, you know, Lifestyles, and you can see it on the spreadsheet that I sent you, I start looking at ROI. So that's the biggest deal. Of the money I have in there, am I getting a good return on it? You know, it's the difference between a middle-class mindset or a millionaire mindset. The middle-class mindset is play it safe, get your steady income. But the millionaire looks at the opportunity cost. Hey, if you've got a lot of money in a home, the longer you keep it, all things being equal, you're getting less and less ROI from it. So that's where I'm in the position where I want to refinance or sell and get into the multifamily game where you can, you know, double your equity faster.
Yeah, I mean, it makes total sense to me. So what do you see in the next 5 years? What is your long-term goal for your investing?
To really have a balanced approach. I don't want to work corporate America again. I paid my dues. I work those long hours. So I need to maintain a good, steady balance of income that I don't have to work for, at the same time growing my equity. And sometimes it takes two different strategies, or as I'm doing, I would call it a balanced approach. So I'm keeping some single family so I have that steady income. But after you keep them a while, then it's time to cash out, to either sell or refinance. So having that balanced approach will give me the ability to not have to work for corporate America while still growing my net worth overall.
Yeah, that's well stated. What I really like about you, Marty, is that, well, there's a lot of things I like about you, Marty, to be honest with you. But what I really like is the fact that you have no problems telling people what your experiences have been, and not sugarcoating it. I mean, you're upfront, you're honest. You've mentioned that, you know, I made some mistakes in the past, but I'm trying not to repeat those mistakes going forward. And you know, you're the kind of person that is the epitome of a typical Lifestyles Unlimited member. I mean, I just got to say that.
Well, when I first heard about it, it really rang true to me because one, I want to be efficient, but two, I like giving back. When you find success, when you find a formula that works and you care for other people, you want them to do that as well. And again, we were talking offline, I've probably got close to a dozen friends that I've got involved into real estate investing as well, and they love it. You know, it's fun. It gives you a sense of freedom, control while you're growing your net worth and doing it for all the right reasons.
Now, I've got to ask you a question. I know the answer to it, but I'm going to ask you the question because I think there are folks in the audience that may have misconceptions about what the true answer is. So you're doing some cash out refinances on properties. Now, are you going to pay taxes on that money that you pull out of those properties when you refinance them?
Oh, my goodness, no. And I didn't realize this. So if you sell a home, the only way to avoid taxes is the 1031 that into another home. But if you refinance, you get that money out and you don't have to pay taxes because you still have a loan on the property. That is the best way to get money out, still own the home. You might have a smaller cash flow on the home, but with that money, you can get into multifamily. You can, you know, go on a good vacation, do both. In fact, I did that with one of my homes in town here. And when I did, I thought the home was worth about $225. So I took out $150 when I refinanced it. Turned out that it was actually worth $285. So I had $50,000 more in equity that I wasn't even aware of until I had it appraised when I'm going through the cash out refi process. So I can do a cash out refi again next year if I wanted to.
Yeah, we'll be back right after this.
As I sit here and read article after article and see TV show after TV show, the normal person out there on the street cannot overcome their fear to get to the analytical part of this whole process. I'm not afraid of, and I'm actually ready for, a recession, a crash of value of anything and everything. Why? It is the opportunity to do incredible stuff. But that's my analytical brain.
The United States has a very strong economy. We will return to our basic economic foundation. This is not going to be the end of the world for everyone. But you do need to take some action. And some actions will be more productive than others. And one of the things that I think you can do now is take this time, like you said, Del. People are going to be sitting at home, and you have a time right now to change your life. Make what you have work for you.
You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free online workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So we're in the last segment, and I'll tell you what, there's a ton of things I want to ask Marty, but we only have a limited amount of time. So what I'm going to try and do is pick the things that I think are most important for you to hear. So, Marty, you left Target. You walked away from, you know, what people would call golden handcuffs, and you started this real estate investing career, and you bought a sports bar along the way. Were you effectively retired at that point?
I was retired. I would say a midlife retirement for 5 years. I had a deferred comp set up, so I would still get paid from Target over 5 years. But I knew there was a sunset. So after those 5 years, I wanted to have income coming in, but I didn't necessarily want to have to work as hard for it. So when I started investing in real estate, I bought what I could, but then I was no longer a W-2 earner. So I went back and tried a few other careers outside of Target. I did Lifetime Fitness. I did public storage. I did Regis offices. And I honestly did that to support my home buying habit. So when I worked for these corporations, I didn't consider it, I hate to say it, not necessarily a career, because I didn't want to move up the corporate ladder anymore. I just wanted W-2 income as I was building my portfolio. So when you do that, you could say I was retired, you can say I wasn't retired, but I felt zero stress at work because I was kind of doing it for fun. You know, I knew I had my real estate to fall back on. I effectively turned my target deferred comp slash retirement, if you will, into properties that replaced my income. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. But I've got a question, and I think it's a question that's probably on the minds of our listeners. You said you needed W-2 income. Why did you need that?
Well, part of it is just you grow up with the mindset of you've got to have that steady paycheck. When you're buying single-family homes, it helps. It doesn't matter if you've got money in the bank or if you've got, you know, equity. You still need to have some W-2 income to get into single-family. Not so much with multifamily. Now, with multifamily, you could have bad credit. You can not have a W-2 income, but if you've got the money, you can get more into it. But again, being the scaredy cat as I was and dabbling in this, I started with single family. But now I think I've mastered that, and that's why now I'm going into multifamily, and I'm not as concerned as about that W-2 because I just don't need it anymore outside of one purchase and two refinances next year.
Interesting. So, I mean, it's really, it was a means to an end. I mean, you didn't necessarily need the job, but you kind of had to have the job because it was a condition of getting the loans for the investments you were making.
Yeah. And again, that's why I like saying I took a day job to support my home buying habit. There's worse habits to have.
Oh, there's definitely worse habits to have. Yeah, I guarantee you. Not that I have a lot of those anymore. But, well, I was going to go off on a tangent there. Let me reel this thing back in. So talk to me about the decision you made to join the Lifestyles Unlimited team. I mean, you're a part of our organization now. You're part of what we call our member services team. And our member services team is very vital to the membership because, I mean, you are on the front lines. You are there responsive to our members' needs. If they have a question about anything regarding real estate investing, you're just a phone call away. What is that like to you to be a part of a team like that?
Well, let me first say why I joined as a team member. I preach a lot of what we have learned at Lifestyles on how to help people invest in single-family homes and multifamily homes. I've done more or less the presentation upside down on a napkin at mini Starbucks around DFW. Again, during COVID, I'm like, I've got nothing going on. Why not get paid for what I'm already doing and help people do what I've done more formally and also get a little bit of W-2 for it? So it's one part, I'm going to do this anyhow, one part, a little bit of W-2, and a big part of it is just giving back. I love it when members ask me personal questions like, hey, do you also believe this? Is this real? And I'm like, oh, yeah, let me tell you about my portfolio. Half hour later, you know, they're joining Lifestyles as well. So it's a little bit of paying it forward.
Yeah, it's pretty cool when you have the ability to help somebody understand that there is a completely different approach to getting to where you're trying to get to in life. And, you know, society has a tendency to cloud us. It has a tendency to imprint upon us what society wants us to do, which may or may not be aligned with what our personal goals and objectives are.
True. I mean, if you follow the masses, you're going to end up with the masses. If you want to have an exceptional life, if you want to have a life where you're not, you know, tied to the corporate ball and chain and venture on your own, start growing a real estate portfolio. Start earning passive income. It's not just the income. It really is the freedom and less stress that you get from having that ownership. When, you know, for 17 years, my entire income was from Target. When I got my first rent check, I felt like a man. I felt like, hey, I'm a real investor. It was great.
You've done a couple of these 1031 exchanges, and I'm in the middle of doing some right now. So this is a great time for us to like compare notes and for our listeners to learn from us. What was the biggest takeaway that you had from executing a 1031 exchange?
You know, it was probably an emotional takeaway, and that was this. I bought 3 homes this year, which is the max you can get from a 1031 exchange is 3 homes, and it didn't feel like it was my money. You know, I bought this home in Southwest Fort Worth. I bought a duplex, $133,000. Sold it later for $240,000. And that was like 6 years later where the mortgage was paid down, it went up in equity. That funded 3 homes. I didn't take a dime out of my own personal checking account. And really what paid for it was the appreciation, the pay down from the people renting it or the residents living there. So it was really weird to buy homes that are now mine that I feel like I didn't use my money to buy and pay no taxes on.
Yeah, what I think is really cool about it is the fact that it preserves all of your capital. So instead of, mm-hmm. you know, carving a portion of that money out so that you can pay the capital gains tax and any depreciation recapture that you're liable for, you're able to take all of the net proceeds out of that particular transaction and then move it into other properties, which gives you incredible purchasing power.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, the first 2 homes I bought right away, but I couldn't find the third one till the very end because I was busy with the first 2. So I called my third one, I affectionately call it my tax shelter, because the money I put into it, I would have had to pay in taxes if I didn't. So now not only is it sheltering my taxes, but it's giving me monthly cash flow of about $400 or $500. So win-win.
Yeah, that is all win-win. So talk to me about legacy. What is all of this real estate investing doing for you and the ones that you love?
You know, it's funny. I've actually had to update my will. And, you know, I'm looking for, you know, when you say legacy, I think, what are you going to leave behind? Well, now I've got resources that I've never even thought about before. And I've got to figure out, okay, you know, who gets this if I were to go away? And but not just the money, but the knowledge, you know. So one part legacy is helping others do what I've done. But 2 part is, you know what, I'm getting resources that I never thought I would. What do I do with it? So it's kind of a fun thing to work through.
Yeah, it's a good problem, isn't it?
Yeah. And I've never really been there before, but it's kind of like, what do I do with this money in the bank account? Well, you have to make some decisions.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing about that 1031 exchange. They give you like 45 days to identify properties that you want to acquire, and then they give you, you know, an additional 135 days they actually close on those properties. How much of a challenge was it for you to identify those properties in those first 45 days?
Well, I had one in mind before I did the 1031 exchange, so I was preemptive on that one. So I knew I had at least one, and obviously you have to buy something that's higher priced than the one that you're selling. But I had enough left over that I was able to buy 2, and the second one came right away. There was an extension due to COVID this year, so that was actually, I guess, a weird good side effect of that, so it gave me a little bit more time. And honestly, the 3 homes are all so different, and it's just fun having the diversity within my portfolio. One was turnkey, one I did a huge remodel on it, and I'm actually renting out to a couple ladies that work for the Freeman House as part of the woman's shelter.
Well, there you go. You're tying your real estate back in with the charitable causes that you believe in.
Exactly.
What a great opportunity. Well, Marty, I got to be honest with you, man. We're at the end of the show. I've run out of time. I've got a ton of things I want to ask you. I'll just pick up the phone and give you a jingle. But I want to say thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to spend a little bit of time with us and imparting the wisdom that you have on the rest of us, because it does make a difference. And remember, folks, you can get started anytime. Go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. That's freeworkshoplivestream.com. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you.
you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.